Volume 47, Number 7, of the Friend magazine for July 2017. Contents. Stories and features. From the First Presidency. Don't Stop Seeking by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Pioneer Night. Family Night Fun. CTR Story. Modesty Means. Bright Idea Poster. Answers from an Apostle, Elder M. Russell Ballard. Friends with Heart, Standing Up with Kindness, Fasting for a Prophet, Question Corner, Friend to Friend, Bright Examples by Elder Larry S. Kotcher, The Magic Wallet, Show and Tell, Matt and Mandy, Stop and Flip, For Older Kids, Best Camp Ever, Fighting Off Falsehoods, Snacks and Crafts, The Way to Zion Part 2, Journey of Miracles, Friends and Faith, Music, Come, Come Ye Saints, Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff Family Search, Fun Stuff Find It, Reverence is Love, Church History Figures, Kirtland and the Word of Wisdom, Fran Jr., For Parents of Little Ones, Hi Friends, Prayers and Butterflies, Helping Others, Stories of Jesus, Jesus Fed Many People, Coloring Page, and Charlie's Big Weekend. End of Contents. Read by David Shaw.
How we read The Friend. We like reading The Friend with each other. We talk about the stories and have fun together as we look for the hidden pictures. Benjamin, Aaron, and Milvira S., ages 11, 10, and 7, Nairobi, Kenya.
Peaceful inside. One night I was feeling scared. My mom suggested that I should read The Friend. After I read it, I felt peaceful inside and fell asleep. I am very grateful for The Friend. Ginny L., age 7, New York, USA.
Family Home Evening. Sullivan F., age 6, from Oregon, USA, said, I taught my family home evening, and we made these hearts to show our love for Jesus and others. Thanks for the fun activity.
Prayer Mobile. At Family Home Evening, we made the Prayer Mobile. We learned about how Jesus led the example of prayer. Thanks for the idea to help us have more meaningful prayer. Nora H., age 5, Utah, USA.
July is special because it's the month we celebrate pioneers. Early pioneers bravely traveled with wagons and handcarts to the Salt Lake Valley. Today's pioneers are brave people who make good choices so their future families can be blessed. How will you celebrate on July 24th? Find some ideas on pages 4 through 6. Learn a pioneer song on page 29, and read how our friend Tyrus is a pioneer, page 14. Happy Pioneer Day, The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of Friends by Mail for July 2017. Read by Miles McClellan, Jane Nielsen, Wes Nelson, Shannon Nelson, and Miles Williams.
From the First Presidency, Don't Stop Seeking, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Two faithful missionaries were serving in Europe in an area where not many people were listening to their message and being baptized. They felt like they should try meeting people in a four-story apartment building. They started on the first floor and knocked on each door, giving their message about Jesus Christ and the restoration of His church when Jesus Christ's church was brought back to the earth. No one would listen to them. They knocked on every door on the second floor. Again, no one would listen. The third floor was the same, and so was the fourth, until they knocked on the last door of the fourth floor. When that door opened, a young girl smiled at them. The missionaries gave their message to the girl, her sister, and her mother, and then gave them a copy of the Book of Mormon. The mother finished reading the whole book in a few days. Not long after this, this wonderful family was baptized. The charming young woman who opened the door is now my wife, Harriet. She has blessed the lives of many people through her happy personality and her love for the gospel. She truly is the sunshine of my life. How grateful I am that the two missionaries did stop at the first floor. How often have I given thanks that they kept going, even to the fourth floor, last door? In our search to be close to God, let us remember the Lord's promise. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Will we give up after trying a time or two, or will we keep seeking, searching, or looking? God rewards those who earnestly seek Him, trying really hard. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, New International Version. But the reward is not usually behind the first door, so we need to keep knocking. Don't give up. Seek God with all your heart. Exercise faith. Walk in righteousness. I promise that if you will do this, you will receive the answers you were looking for. Note, adapted from Fourth Floor, Last Door, Ensign, November 2016, pages 15 through 18. Seeking answers. When you have questions about life and the gospel, where can you find answers? Fill in the sentences below and then use the words to fill in the puzzle. Check your answers on page 39. When I read the blank, I can search for answers there. As I do peaceful things to invite the blank, answers will come to my mind and heart. I can always blank and talk to Heavenly Father about the questions I have. One day I can get my blank blessing, which will give me advice and guidance. Good blank, who encouraged me to choose the right, can help me find answers. When I go to blank, I feel the Spirit and learn more about the gospel. I can get ready to go to the blank when I'm old enough and find answers there. End of the article, from the First Presidency. Don't stop seeking. By President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency. Read by David Shaw.
Busy Like a Bee. When Elder M. Russell Ballard was growing up, his dad owned a peach orchard and kept honeybees. Russell didn't always like going near the bees with his dad. But years later, Russell learned things about honeybees that he thought were really awesome. Russell was amazed at how much honeybees can get done when they work together. He learned that each bee does only a small part. They have to go to millions of flowers to get even a little honey for their hive, which is like their family. When all of those bees do their best, they help the hive grow. Russell learned that, like the busy bees, we all need to work together and help each other. We might feel like we only do a little bit to help, but together, those little things can make a big difference. Adapted from Be Anxiously Engaged, Ensign, November 2012, pages 29 through 31. End of Busy Like a Bee, read by Pat Murray.
Pioneer Night, by Nettie Hunsaker Francis, based on a true story. Whenever I think about pioneers, I think of brave women and men. Children's Songbook, page 222.
Mom, what are we doing for family night?
Benjamin asked as he and his younger brother, Sammy, walked into the kitchen for a drink.
Do you mean Pioneer Night?
Mom said with a smile.
What?
Benjamin asked.
I thought today was Monday. You know, family night.
Mom nodded.
It's Monday, all right, but tonight we're having a special Pioneer Night.
Benjamin frowned a little. He liked family night. He wasn't sure he wanted to do anything different.
What's Pioneer Night?
Sammy asked.
Well?
Mom said, pulling out a kitchen chair and sitting down at the table with them.
170 years ago, Mormon pioneers crossed the plains in wagons and handcarts to get to Utah. On July 24, 1847, the first pioneers arrived in the Salt Lake Valley.
Wait, isn't today July 24th?
Benjamin asked.
Exactly. It's Pioneer Day. In Utah, it's even a state holiday. There are parades and fireworks to honor the pioneers.
But we don't live in Utah,
said Benjamin.
Well, that just means we have to think of creative ways to celebrate. So we're having Pioneer Night. Will you help me get ready?
Benjamin and Sammy nodded. As they helped Mom, Benjamin felt more and more excited. Soon Dad got home from work.
What's this?
He said when he saw the kitchen table set with checkered napkins, glass jars, and pie tins.
It's Pioneer Night,
Benjamin said, handing Dad a red bandana to tie around his neck. He and Sammy were both wearing cowboy hats from their costume box.
This looks fun,
said Dad. Then he sniffed the air.
And something smells really good.
Mom was stirring a pot of stew at the stove.
Before we eat, we have to make butter for the cornbread,
said Sammy. Mom poured cream into a jar and screwed the lid on tight. After shaking for a few minutes, she handed the jar to Sammy. They all took turns shaking until there was a lump of butter inside. After dinner, they had a special family night. Dad showed them a black and white picture.
This is Joseph Francis, your great-great-great-grandpa. He came to the United States with his family when he was 13 years old.
Dad talked about how Joseph sailed from England and then worked in a factory to earn money to cross the plains. Benjamin couldn't believe a boy who was just older than he was had done so many hard things. Then Mom shared a story from her family history.
My mother, your Grandma Hunsaker, met the missionaries when she was 13 years old. When she prayed to know if their message was true, she felt the Holy Ghost tell her to be baptized. Because of her decision, I grew up knowing about the gospel. My mother is a pioneer because she set a righteous example for others to follow.
Benjamin liked that. Maybe there were ways he could be a pioneer. He was still thinking about it when Dad said it was time for the closing song and prayer.
Now we can have the treat,
Sammy said. Mom handed everyone a cookie, some candies, and a few other yummy things. She showed them how to make wagons with marshmallows like white canvases on top.
These wagons sure taste good,
Sammy said as he took a big bite.
I'm glad the pioneers went to Utah.
And I'm glad we don't always have to make our own butter,
Benjamin said with a laugh. His life was different from the early pioneers, but he knew they all had one thing in common. They all believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The author lives in Nevada, USA. Turn the page to see how to make your own wagons. Sidebar: President Thomas S. Monson. We follow in the footsteps of the ultimate pioneer, even the Savior, who went before, showing us the way to follow. President Thomas S. Monson, True to the Faith of Our Forefathers, Ensign, July 2016, pages 4 to 5.
End of the story, Pioneer Night, read by Casey Wayman, Wes Nelson, and Kate, Noah, and Gabe Strongen.
Building a Temple by Amy Jane Levitt. Join us each month to see how the Payson, Utah Temple was built. There are 12 oxen around the base of the baptismal font. They represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Only the front half of the oxen is made because the back half would be hidden in the walls of the font. 3 oxen face north, 3 face west, 3 face south, and 3 face east. This is the way the oxen were arranged in the baptismal font in Solomon's temple in the Old Testament. Fun fact, in the Payson, Utah temple, one of the oxen is a door. It can slide out when the font needs to be worked on. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or paper heart. Number 1, fill out the form below and send it in with your story or artwork. Number 2, send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. Number 3, we might edit your submission for length or clarity and we can't return it to you. Number 4, you must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a kangaroo doctor is treating a young kangaroo for a sprained ankle by giving him a pogo stick. The doctor says,
Now remember, you need to use this for at least 2 weeks until that ankle gets better.
End of the article, Building a Temple. Read by Kate Strongen and Dwayne Case.
Family Night Fun. Here are some family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Special Pioneer Night. Read Pioneer Night on page 4 and have your own Pioneer Family Night. Try one of these activities to help celebrate the pioneers. Step 1. Churn butter. Fill a jar halfway with heavy cream, add a pinch of salt, screw on the lid, and start shaking. When the cream separates from the cloudy liquid, empty out the liquid. Keep shaking until the cream becomes a yellowish ball. Enjoy. Step 2. Talk about pioneers in your family. Benjamin's great-great-great-grandpa crossed the plains, and his grandmother joined the church when she was young. Both were pioneers. Step 3. Hold sack races. The pioneers used potato sacks, but you can use pillowcases. Put both feet in your pillowcase and hop to the finish line. Marshmallow-covered wagons. Many pioneers crossed the plains in covered wagons. They fit what they could in the wagon and left everything else behind. You'll need graham crackers, frosting, large marshmallows, pretzel sticks, and any hard candy with a hole in the middle. Step 1. Break one graham cracker into quarters. Step 2. Use frosting to stick two marshmallows to the top of your graham cracker quarter. Step 3. Use frosting to stick two pretzels to the bottom of the graham cracker. These are your wagon axles. Step 4. Put a piece of candy on the ends of both pretzel sticks to make wheels. Use frosting to hold them in place. Enjoy your marshmallow-covered wagon. Challenging changes. Do you ever feel worried when things change? The pioneers face big changes, but still found ways to be happy. You can too. Focus on what won't change, like Heavenly Father's love for you. You might have some feelings you don't understand. That's okay. Talk to a parent or write about your feelings in a journal. Look for the good things that might come from a big change. For example, if you have to change schools, think about the chance to make new friends. Bonus treat. Try this tasty treat. Be sure to get an adult's help. Peel and chop 4 bananas. Put them in the freezer for several hours. Blend the frozen banana slices with a cup of strawberries and 1/4 cup of cream. Freeze the mixture for at least 3 hours. Enjoy your strawberry banana ice cream. More family home evening ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea 1. Read Modesty Means and draw another cartoon about modesty together. Then make a family modesty goal for the next week. Idea 2. Ask a parent about a time they fasted for special blessings. Read Fasting for a Prophet and Question Corner. What was it like when you fasted? Or talk with your family about when to start fasting. Idea 3. Read The Magic Wallet and take turns acting out tough choices you might have to make. Then celebrate your good decisions with fruit pizza. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of the article, Family Night Fun. Read by Chloe Patello.
CTR Story, Modesty Means, by Jordan Wright. Modesty is a lot more than how we dress. It's how we act, speak, and treat people. It's one way we show respect for ourselves and for Heavenly Father. Modesty means not bragging or showing off and accepting compliments kindly. Modesty means showing reverence and respect for ourselves and other people's bodies. Modesty means wearing clothes that cover our bodies properly and fit the activity. Be sure to be kind instead of judging others for the way they dress. Where to wear. Part of being modest is wearing the right clothes for where you are and what you're doing. Write or draw pictures of what you think is modest for each situation below. Then talk with a parent about your answers.
CTR Challenge. I will dress modestly to show respect for Heavenly Father and myself, my gospel standards. Write down a modesty goal, how you talk, dress, or act, and stick it on your mirror. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Ask a parent why your body is sacred and how to protect it. Accept a compliment without bragging, then give a compliment. I challenge myself to print cards at ctr2017.lds.org. End of CTR Story. Modesty Means. Read by Amelie Strongen.
Fun Stuff. Family Search by Ari Vandegraff. Pretend you just heard a family story about someone who joined the church while at college. They're the first member of the church in your family. You didn't hear their name, though, so do this activity to find out who it was. Start in the upper left corner and draw a straight line from each two-letter bubble that spells out the phrase, Family History, the Spirit of Elijah. When you're done, look for the one photo that doesn't have a line through it. This is the family member you're looking for. Check your answer on page 39. End of Family Search, read by Rena Nelson.
Answers from an Apostle by Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. What is a family council? A family council is a meeting on any day of the week. It can be with just you and a parent, or with your whole family. It is a time when you can turn off electronics and look at and listen to each other. Tell your parents about your worries or fears. Make goals and write them down. Offer to help a sibling during a hard time. Combined with prayer, a family council can invite the Savior's presence in your home. It can help your family be happy. From Family Councils, Ensign, May 2016, pages 63 through 65. End of Answers from an Apostle by Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. What is a Family Council? Read by Van Farnworth.
Friends with Heart. Standing Up with Kindness. From an interview with Jordan Wright.
Hi, my name is Tyrus. My ancestors were pioneers who moved from Wales to Utah. Now, my family's moved to England. We're pioneers too, but in the other direction. Living in England. I like England because it's really green and it has a smaller carbon footprint. I like to go to the Aviation Museum and catch crabs at the coast. I like to sit on the top front row of the double-decker bus. It's bumpy and feels like a roller coaster. Bullied at school. Some kids at school thought my accent sounded funny. They started making fun of me. It got worse and worse. I wanted to quit school. Making a plan. I told my parents what was happening. My mom thought we should make a slideshow about what it's like to be an immigrant. I was excited. Praying for help. The day before the slideshow, some of the bullies scattered my school uniform all over the changing room. One of my socks was in the bin, and my trousers were in the toilet stall. Someone was sitting on my shirt, and someone else was sitting on my other sock. I definitely wanted to quit school. That night, my dad gave me a priesthood blessing. I prayed that I would not get discouraged. Sharing my slideshow. At school the next day, I was nervous. Would people like the slideshow? I ran the computer, and my mom told the kids to pretend they had to move far away. They were amazed that I only brought one suitcase, one carry-on, and one box of toys with me when I moved. Some people even said they wanted to visit Utah for Christmas. Standing Up with Kindness. After the slideshow, things got a little better. Kids at school know more about me and are trying to be kind. Now I know I can stand up to bullies. But I can do it in a nice way, like by showing a slideshow. Jesus was kind to the people who hurt him, so being kind is how I follow Jesus.
Tyrus's tips for dealing
with bullies.
Tell a trusted adult and work with your teachers. Learn to control your reactions. Bullies like to see you get upset. Try to help them understand you and try to understand them.
Send us a heart. How do you follow Jesus? By showing love. Send us a heart with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39.
End of the article, Standing Up with Kindness, read by Enzo Patello and Sean Nelson.
Fasting for a Prophet by Rebecca J. Carlson, based on a true story. Cilioti loved President Kimball. She wanted him to get better. This story took place in Tonga in 1981. Cilioti walked home from school past trees of yellow papayas and rosy ripe mangoes. When she saw the fruit, she remembered how hungry she was. She also remembered that today was a special day. Today, everyone in her stake in Tonga was fasting for the prophet, President Spencer W. Kimball. The prophet was sick and needed an operation. Tonight, everyone in the stake would meet to pray and end their fast together. When Cilioti reached her house, she smelled food cooking in the umu, the pit oven. Her stomach grumbled. Cilioti was glad she was old enough to fast now, but fasting on a school day was so much harder than fasting on a Sunday. Cilioti tried to forget how hungry she was. She found firewood and cleaned up the leaves that had fallen from the tall breadfruit trees that shaded her yard. Heavenly Father will understand if I take a tiny sip of water, Cilioti thought as she washed her hands after chores. Then she thought of how much she loved President Kimball. She wanted him to be well again. She decided she would wait. Cilioti sat down on the porch and laid her head in her mother's lap. She was so tired. You can end your fast if you need to, Mother said. But I want to fast, said Cilioti. I can do it. When Father came home from work, everyone in the family helped uncover the umu. They took out the pork wrapped in leaves, the fish and the breadfruit baked in coconut milk. Then they wrapped the food in cloth and carried it out to the road to wait for the bus. They met other families on the road, all with their own bundles of food. They all smiled and talked as they climbed on the bus together. Cilioti found a little space next to Mother. She smelled the good food as the bus bumped along. It was dark when the bus reached the chapel. Inside, Cilioti knelt with her parents, her brothers and sisters, and hundreds of other members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. During the prayer, Cilioti prayed in her heart, "Please let President Kimball get well again." She knew every person in the room was praying for the same thing. A calm feeling inside told her that President Kimball would be okay. When she opened her eyes, she saw tears on the faces of the people around her. All of these people had fasted, and she had fasted with them. It had been hard, but she had done it. President Kimball survived his operation and served as the prophet for 4 more years. The author lives in Hawaii, USA. Sidebar. Why do we fast and pray? Fasting and prayer go together. When we fast and pray with faith, we are more receptive to receiving answers to our prayers and blessings from the Lord. Preached by Gospel, A Guide to Missionary Service, 2004, page 79. End of the story, Fasting for a Prophet, read by Maya Reinwand.
Question Corner. How do I know when I'm old enough to start fasting? Responses are intended for help and perspective, not as pronouncements of church doctrine.
I knew I was old enough to start fasting when I felt like I wanted to. And the Holy Ghost told me I was doing the right thing. When I started, I did it step by step. First, I would fast one meal, then I would try two. Anna D., age 9, Nevada, USA.
You can pray to Heavenly Father to see when you should start fasting. I know that Heavenly Father can answer your prayers. Liam P., age 7, Utah, USA.
It's fine to fast when you want to help bless others and feel the Spirit. It would be a good time to fast after you are baptized. Eddie O., age 9, California, USA.
I would know I am old enough because I would have a feeling from the Holy Ghost telling me that it is the right time to fast. And then I would ask my mom and dad if that feeling was right. Brooklyn R., age 7, Auckland, New Zealand.
When I get baptized, I think I'll feel ready to start fasting. I can pray to Heavenly Father for His help and ask Him when and how I should start. Brian K., age 7, Washington, USA.
What are your questions? Next year, the friend wants to answer your questions about the gospel, growing up, or getting a testimony. Email us at friend@ldschurch.org and put, "I have a question," in the subject line. Don't forget to include the permission statement on page 39. We're excited to hear from you. Read more Question Corner answers at friendqc.lds.org. End of this month's Question Corner.
Fun stuff! Find it! This family discovered that hide-and-seek is even more fun on a camping vacation. Can you find the hidden objects? A pencil, a heart, a glove, a golf club, an envelope, a hat, a snowman, and a lightning bolt. End of Fun Stuff, Find It, read by Shannon Nelson.
Friend to Friend, Bright Examples, by Elder Larry S. Catcher of the 70. From an interview with Linda Davies. I would like to tell you about two young girls I know who were shining examples in sharing the gospel. When our daughter, Nellie, was almost 8 years old, our family lived in Switzerland. Nellie was excited to be baptized. Just before her birthday, we had family home evening with our friend, Tina. Tina had been taught by the missionaries, but she wasn't sure if she wanted to be baptized. After our lesson, we asked Tina to pray. Tina didn't speak much English, so she prayed in Chinese. We didn't understand her words, but we felt the Spirit when she prayed. Later that night, Nellie asked if she and Tina could be baptized on the same day. We didn't know how Tina would feel about that idea, but we all agreed that Nellie should at least call and ask. To our surprise, Tina said yes. Nellie and Tina were baptized that weekend. Later, Tina told us a wonderful story. She reminded us about her prayer at our family home evening. In her prayer, she had asked Heavenly Father to let her know if she should be baptized. When Nellie called her later that night, Tina knew that Heavenly Father had heard her prayer. Our friend Jasmine was a good example to us, too. Jasmine was 12 years old. Her family became our good friends when we lived in the Middle East. In her country, church members can't talk about the gospel with others. It's against the law. But Jasmine decided she could share the gospel by doing what Jesus did. She could show love and kindness to others. Wherever Jasmine went, or whatever she did, she tried to be like Jesus. She was a bright example to others. Nellie and Jasmine show us how we can be examples of Jesus Christ. We can do this no matter how old we are or where we live. A message for you. Write the first letter of the word that describes each picture as shown on page 21. Check your answers on page 39. How can I share the gospel with anyone at any time? Bonus, write and draw your own picture message for a friend. End of the section, Friend to Friend, Bright Examples, by Elder Larry S. Catcher of the 70. Read by Dwayne Case.
The Magic Wallet, by Amanda Waters, based on a true story. Choose the right way and be happy. I must always choose the right.
You're it,
Mandy said. She tagged her little brother and then swam away. Mandy's family was staying in a motel until they could move to their new home. It was fun eating ravioli warmed up in the microwave for lunch, and they got to swim in the motel pool almost every day. But there was one not-so-good part about the motel. The motel manager's office was right under their room, and the manager thought Mandy and her brothers and sisters were too loud.
How can I rent rooms when it sounds like a herd of elephants are over my head?
He asked Dad. After lunch, Mandy's little brother Aaron jumped off the bed and hit the floor with a thump. Mandy winced and looked up at Mom.
No jumping. Tiptoe, please,
Mom said. But it was too late. The phone rang.
Uh-oh,
thought Mandy. Mom picked up the phone. Mandy could hear her apologizing to the manager.
It won't happen again.
Mom's shoulders sagged as she hung up the phone.
Edward and Mandy, I need to put Aaron and Emily down for a nap. Will you please take Christine and Daniel for a walk?
As they started across the motel parking lot, Mandy spotted something small and brown on the ground. It was a wallet, and it had money in it.
Look, Edward,
she said, holding the wallet up high.
We need to take this to the manager's office right away,
said Edward. Mandy felt her stomach clench. Why did they have to take it right now? Couldn't Mom or Dad return it later? But Mandy knew the right thing to do. The children opened the office door and timidly stepped inside. The manager frowned.
We found this wallet in the parking lot,
Mandy said. Her hand shook as she set the wallet on the counter. A man was standing at the counter looking worried.
You found it,
he said when he saw the wallet.
Thank you, kids.
Mandy looked up at the manager. His frown was gone and his eyes were twinkling. After they left the office, Daniel asked,
Was that wallet magic?
Why do you think it's magic?
Asked Edward.
Because it made the grumpy man happy.
Edward shook his head.
The wallet wasn't magic. He was happy because we did the right thing.
Mandy had a warm feeling inside. She never knew choosing the right could make people so happy. A few days later, Mandy and Dad went to pay the week's bill. The manager smiled at Mandy. He had only called once since they found the wallet, and just to thank them for being honest. Mandy felt like they'd made a new friend.
Choosing the right really is magical,
Mandy thought. She waved goodbye and the manager waved back.
And he really isn't so grumpy after all.
Sidebar. One day at recess, someone dropped their quarter. I picked it up, and even though I wanted to keep it, I gave it to one of the teachers. I felt good because I chose the right. I learned that if you find something that is not yours, you don't keep it, even if you like it, because that would be stealing. Tyler B., age 7, Oregon, USA.
End of the story, The Magic Wallet. Read by Jane Wise, Shannon and Wes Nelson, Kara McClellan, Enzo Botello, Miles and Aiden Williams, and Van Farnworth.
Show and tell.
If anyone asks me what the church teaches, I recite the Articles of Faith for them. Our branch meets in my grandpa's living room. He is the branch president. When I was baptized in the ocean, I became the 10th member of the church on our island. Anakin F., age 10, Mabuyag Island, Australia.
I gave a Book of Mormon to a friend and invited her and her family to our primary program. I was so happy when they came. Connie C., age 6, Florida, USA.
In the McQueen Ward, Arizona, USA, primary children learned about the sacrifices pioneers made to build temples. They used blocks to build a replica of the first temple in Arizona.
I needed help giving my school captain's speech because I was so nervous. I prayed for help. Later, I was voted school captain. Lockyer L., age 11, Queensland, Australia.
My dad doesn't go to church, but I try to keep the commandments when I am at his house and show an example of living the gospel of Jesus Christ, Dashiell P., age 6, Colorado, USA.
After talking and sharing time about what it means to be modest, primary children in the Saline Ward, Michigan, USA, drew pictures showing how they can be modest.
Other contributors to Show and Tell: Preston B., age 10, New Mexico, USA. Lois H., age 11, California, USA. Emma B., age 11, Texas, USA. Brigham W., age 5, Rhode Island, USA. And Sam M., age 11, Florida, USA. Also, Anna T., age 7, Arizona, USA. And Tyler B., age 11, Utah, USA. Find more art online at childart.lds.org. End of Show and Tell for July 2017. I Can Play It. Come, Come Ye Saints. Words by William Clayton. Music. It's an English folk song. Arranged copyright 2017 by Intellectual Reserves Incorporated, all rights reserved. This song may be copied for incidental non-commercial church and home use. This notice must be included on each copy made. Vocals by Sarah, Eden, and Maya Reinwand. Backup vocals by Wes Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, Mandy is sitting in the grass at the park with her two friends, Jasmine and Audrey. Audrey just got baptized. She says,
"Thanks again for coming to my baptism."
Mandy responds,
"Hey, we're your friends. We wouldn't have missed it."
Jasmine asks,
"You're coming to activity day with us tomorrow, aren't you?"
To which Audrey replies,
"Sure. It's the Sunday meetings I get a little nervous about, because I feel like I don't know anything yet."
Mandy jokingly says,
"That's why we sit with you, so you can lean on us."
Meanwhile, at Franco's house, Franco asks Matt,
"Think of anything fun to do yet?"
"Yeah, let's go surprise Mrs. Thorne."
Shortly after, she looks out her window and is delighted to see Matt and Franco washing her car for her. End of Matt and Mandy.
For older kids. What did 0 say to 8? See page 39. Dear Journal, write about a time you did something wrong. How did you feel? How did you make it right? How did you feel after that? What did you learn? Quick quiz. Who had a coat of many colors? Nephi, Joseph, Adam, or Mary? See page 39. Tucker E., age 11, Arizona, USA, said, "I love to see the temple. My family and I went to the Phoenix, Arizona Temple open house. Right when I stepped inside, I felt the spirit, and it was all quiet and peaceful. It was a great experience." Think about it. We can forgive and we can be free. Elder Kevin R. Duncan of the 70. Family Hunt. Make a photo album of things your family has done this summer. If you don't have any photos, draw pictures. Upload your album to FamilySearch.org for your future family to see. My Haiku. Jesus died for us. On the cross he hung. He said, "I will live again." Greta H., age 11, Utah, USA. End of the section for older kids, read by Maya Reinwand.
Best Camp Ever by Margaret McGarry and Marissa Dennis, based on a true story. June 20th. So, I'm kind of worried. I was asked to be Brian's buddy at scout camp this year and help him pass his merit badges. Here's the thing. Brian's blind. He can do lots of stuff on his own, but sometimes he needs a little help. Like someone helps him so he can pass the sacrament. But that's a lot different than passing a merit badge. I hope he can do it. I'm going to do my best to help him. He's my friend, and I want him to have fun at camp. June 21st. Today is the first day of camp, and we did the swimming merit badge. A leader threw a brick into the pool, and we each had to turn it to a jump and get it. I wasn't sure how Bryant would do, but I tried my best to help him know where to go. I shouted directions to him from the side of the pool. He probably couldn't hear underwater, but he didn't give up. He kept feeling around until he found the brick. He finished on time and earned his badge. It was awesome. June 22nd. Today, we did the badge I was worried about the most. Archery. That's hard enough to pass when you're not blind. How could Bryant shoot a target? I tried my best to help him aim, but it was hard for him to hear me because the other boys were cheering so loud behind us. Everyone wanted him to pass, and he did. We were so happy. We patted him on the back and jumped around like crazy. June 23rd. I'm so tired. I barely got any sleep last night. In the middle of the night, I heard a freaky noise and poked Bryant to wake him up. It went kind of like this. Me. Bryant, what's that noise? Bryant. I think it's a frog. Me. No, I don't think so. Could it be a snake? Bryant. Nah, snakes don't make noise. Maybe it was a coyote. Me. You said it was a frog. Bryant. Maybe a coyote is chasing the frog. Me. Or maybe the frog is chasing a coyote. Bryant. Ha ha ha. Maybe it was an alien. Me. A robot alien. Bryant. Dressed like a coyote. Bryant and me. We were cracking up all night. Finally, we got some sleep. It was kind of scary to hear weird noises in the dark. I wonder if that's how Bryant feels sometimes. But joking with Bryant helped me feel better. I'm glad he's my friend. June 24th. It's the last day of camp, and it's been great. I thought it would be hard to help Bryant, but it was actually lots of fun. He's really cool and funny, and he can do lots of things. June 25th. When I got home, I told Grandma all about camp. I told her it was the best scout camp ever, and that it was really fun being Bryant's buddy. Grandma read Messiah 2:17 to me. It says, "When ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God." She said that when I helped Bryant, I was serving God too. I'd never thought of it that way before, but I felt the Spirit tell me that it was true. It's awesome that I could serve God and help my friend. Bryant's really cool. He always keeps trying and shows me that we can do hard things, sometimes with a little help. He reminds me that Heavenly Father is always there to help, and Bryant helped me be brave when I was a little scared. So I guess Bryant was really serving me too. The authors live in California and Utah, USA. End of the article, Best Camp Ever. Read by Enzo Patello.
Fighting Off Falsehoods by Mikhail George. Movies, music, and things you see online might make you feel bad about yourself. Practice battling Satan's lies with Heavenly Father's truths by matching each falsehood with a truth. Remember, Heavenly Father loves you, and His truth always wins. Check your answers on page 39. The first one has been done for you.
False. I don't look good enough.
F. We each have our own unique look and outward design, like temples. We also have a spiritual light within us, like temples. Sister Neil F. Marriott.
False. I'd be happier if I had nicer stuff.
E. Those things which provide deep and lasting happiness and gratitude are the things which money cannot buy. Our families, the gospel, good friends, our health, our abilities, the love we receive from those around us. President Thomas S. Monson.
False. No one loves me.
B. We can always know that God loves us. See 1 Nephi, chapter 11, verse 17.
False. I'm not special.
D. Your Heavenly Father has known you for a very long time. You, as His son or daughter, were chosen by Him to come to earth at this precise time to be a leader in His great work on earth. President Russell M. Nelson.
False. Heavenly Father has forgotten about me.
A. No matter how dark your days may seem, your Heavenly Father has not forgotten you. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf.
False. I'm not talented.
C. We all have talents and gifts, but we don't all have the same ones. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 11.
End of the article.
Fighting Off Falsehoods.
By Mikkel George. Read by Wes Nelson and Dwayne Case.
Snacks and Crafts. Temple Mirror. Trace an outline of your favorite temple. Cut it out and use a permanent marker to trace it onto a mirror. Decorate however you like. When you look into the mirror, think about how you are preparing to enter the temple someday. Fruit Pizza. You'll need one large watermelon, whipped cream or whipped topping, 1/2 cup sweetened shredded coconut, 3/4 cup berries or other fruit of your choice, chopped. Step 1. With an adult's help, slice the watermelon so you have a circle like a pizza. Step 2. Spread the whipped cream across the circle. Step 3. Sprinkle on the coconut. Step 4. Top with the berries, grapes, sliced bananas, or anything else you'd like. Step 5. Cut your fruit pizza into triangle slices and enjoy. End of Snacks and Crafts, read by Margot Patello.
The Way to Zion, Part 2. Journey of Miracles by Jessica Larson. Based on a true story. The Platte River, Nebraska, 1863.
Whoa there!
Mary pulled back on the reins, and the oxen slowed.
Everyone all right?
She looked at her three youngest siblings who rode on the oxen's backs. They nodded. The Platte River lay before them, wide and muddy.
What now?
Her younger brother Jackson asked. He was only 9, but he was helping Mary drive the oxen. Father lay in the back of the wagon, still sick from his stroke.
We don't need to cross the river. But we can follow it.
There was no road to Zion, but the river should guide them as they headed west.
Giddy up!
Mary didn't know that the Mormon pioneers always crossed the Platte River and traveled a different way. By not crossing the river, Mary's family was entering Indian territory. They would not see another wagon train for the rest of the long journey. Weeks later, Mary saw a cloud of dust approaching.
Steady,
she whispered to the oxen and herself.
Steady.
The dust cleared to show a small group of Indians riding on horses. One of the men rode up to the back of the wagon where Father was lying. The man's eyes were kind.
He is sick?
He asked, pointing to Father.
Yes,
Mary whispered. The man called out something in his own language, and the Indians all rode off as quickly as they had come. Mary looked at the sun in the sky.
We'll stop here,
she told Jackson. She lifted Sarah and the twins down.
Mary, come look,
Jackson said. The man with the kind eyes was riding back toward them, something heavy in his hands.
Wild duck and rabbit, for you.
Mary could only stare, speechless as he dropped the game into her arms. With another nod, he rode off into the twilight.
Food! Meat!
The man's gift was truly a miracle. More miracles happened on their journey. A buffalo herd came toward them, but then parted around the wagon, going on either side of it. A dust storm carried one of the twins into a river, but Mary was able to save her. But the journey was still difficult. Every day the wagon looked more worn, and the oxen looked more tired. The ground was steep and rocky. The mountains were hard to cross. but Mary and her family kept plodding forward. They were just coming down from a tall summit when Mary saw a man driving toward them in a wagon.
Maybe he can tell us the way to Lehi, Utah,
she said to Jackson. They had an uncle who lived there.
You're in Echo Canyon, not far from the Salt Lake Valley,
the man said, when she asked where they were.
But where is the rest of your party?
The whole story came out, and the man listened in amazement.
You've traveled over 1,000 miles all by yourselves?
He shook his head with admiration.
You are one brave girl. Let me tell you the way to Lehi. You're nearly there.
Nearly there,
Mary whispered to herself as the man drew a rough map in the dirt. Nearly to Zion.
I think we might make it after all.
Mary and her family made it to Lehi, Utah. She later married and had a large family of her own. Her example of faith and courage has blessed many people. The author lives in Texas, USA.
End of the story, Journey of Miracles. Read by Dave Shaw, Mary Kate Little, Gabriel Reinwand, Casey Wayman, and Dwayne Case.
A True Story, written by you, Friends in Faith, by Gary P., age 11, Utah, USA. I was at my friend's house and we were riding our bikes. My friend's neighbors were riding their bikes too. We all decided to play cops and robbers. We played and played for about an hour. It was fun. Finally, we were tired, so we put down our bikes and sat in the grass. I was so excited I had made some new friends. Then a kid picked up his cell phone. He scrolled through it. Then he said, "Hey guys, look at this." He showed us a funny video. It was really funny. And then he showed us another video. All of a sudden, I felt a bad feeling. They watched the video over and over. I felt worse every time. Again and again, worse and worse. I was scared. If I left, my friend might not be my friend anymore. But if I kept watching, I wouldn't be having faith. Finally, I whispered to my friend, "I need to go home." He said, "Why?" "I don't like these videos." "Okay, bye," he said. As I rode my bike back home, I felt the bad feeling slip away. An amazing feeling replaced it. I got the gift of the Holy Ghost a few years ago, and I felt it that day. I had followed the Holy Ghost. End of the story, Friends in Faith. Read by Ethan Nelson.
For parents of little ones, family prayer teaches little ones both the blessings of prayer and the great feeling of belonging to a family. Think of family prayer as a time to connect with both God and each other. It may even become a favorite time in your child's day. You can help make family prayer a regular and happy experience. Here are some ways to help. Choose a regular time when family prayer will always happen. Is it in the morning before everyone leaves? At night before bed? Maybe both. How will you remember? Ask your children for ideas. Be creative. Maybe a prayer rock or phone alarm. Before you pray, ask each family member what they want you to say. What are they thankful for? What blessings do they need? Including each child's thoughts and requests as you pray will help them pay more attention to your words and then listen for Heavenly Father's answers. You might start a tradition of giving hugs after family prayer or inviting everyone to say something they like about a family member. You could choose a different person each day. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of the article, For Parents of Little Ones. Read by David Shaw.
Hi, friends. I took my seat to Yaring and the friends for show and tell at my preschool. I liked being a missionary. Lindsay, age 4, North Carolina, USA.
My friend Tom played with me when I was new at preschool. Jacob, age 4, Colorado, USA. I like to watch ants because they are hard workers and they remind me to work hard. Beckham, age 5, Washington, USA.
End of the section, Hi Friends, read by Sean Nelson and Ocean Patello.
Prayers and Butterflies
by Jennifer Maddie. Grandma fell and it hurt her leg. Sarah is worried about her.
What can we do to help Grandma?
Asks Dad.
Let's say a prayer, says Sarah.
Please bless Grandma that she will feel better.
Let's draw pictures for her, says Sammy.
Grandma loves butterflies, says Sarah. Sarah is thankful for prayer. So is Grandma. End of the story, Prayers and Butterflies. Read by Amelie Strongen.
Stories of Jesus. Jesus Fed Many People by Kim Webb Reed. One day, Jesus wanted to be alone. He got on a boat and sailed to a quiet place. Soon many people followed him there. Jesus taught the people and healed the ones who were sick. At the end of the day, everyone started feeling hungry. Jesus' disciples wanted him to send the people away to buy food in the city. Jesus told his disciples to feed the people so they wouldn't have to leave. A boy had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but it wasn't enough to feed everyone. Jesus blessed the food and broke it into pieces. Then the disciples passed it out to the people. Would there be enough food? Thousands of children, women, and men ate the bread and fish. After they finished eating, 12 baskets of food were left over. It was a miracle. Miracles still happen on earth today. From Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. End of Stories of Jesus, Jesus Fed Many People by Kim Webb Reed. Read by Kate Strongen.
Helping others. Look for people who are helping others feel better in the hospital. How can you help someone feel better when they're sick or sad? End of the article, Helping Others. Read by Jane Nielsen.
Charlie's Big Weekend by Margot May, based on a true story. Dash couldn't wait to play with Charlie. Charlie was the class teddy bear. He was brown and furry. He had his own clothes. He even had a baseball hat. Each weekend, one student took Charlie home. It was Dash's turn. Dash was excited. He had a baseball hat to wear, too. Dash and Charlie had fun. They ate cheese pizza. They played video games. They had a sleepover. On Sunday, lots of people visited. Dash's sister was leaving on a mission. She was going far away. Everyone said goodbye. Charlie said goodbye, too. His big weekend was almost over. The next day, Dash took Charlie back to school. Dash stood in front of the class.
What did you and Charlie do?
His teacher asked. Dash was nervous. He held Charlie tight. Should he tell about the pizza? The video games? The sleepover? Should he tell about Sunday? The kids in class didn't go to his church. What if they laughed? Dash thought about his sister. He knew what she would do. He took a deep breath. He told all about his weekend, even about his sister's mission. He told how Charlie said goodbye. Everyone clapped. They didn't laugh at all. Dash smiled. He was brave just like his sister. Maybe he was a missionary too. The author lives in California, USA.
End of the story, Charlie's Big Weekend. Read by Kate Strongen and Kristen Hawkins.